So, you've got an idea for a business. The store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out. Everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 8th day of January 2024. And a lot of those checks are coming in with 2023 still out of. So we're getting checks that are a year old already. But anyhow, tonight we have a lot to cover. And our producer tonight is none other than Ken. Hey, Ken.
How you doing, Pastor?
Good. And then way out yonder we have the legend, the Missouri legend, Pastor Joe Larson.
Well, good evening. All of a sudden you just went out of sound. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, I can't hear you, so we're off to a good start. I can
okay.
barely hear you.
Can you hear me now? Can you can you boost up his audio there some, Ken? I can try to do something here on this end. All right, he's working on it. Anyhow, do you remember the title of the message, Joe?
Accurate Account of God's Divine Institutions of Marriage and Family.
We know that that institution has been under attack from day one, and started right there in the garden, didn't it? Well, this coming Sunday, we're going to be, Lord's willing, during our the Bible and Current Events Hour, we're going to be showing a video called The Silent Cry, The Darkness Side of the Trafficking. And here, there's a very, very, very sinister wickedness encompassing our country. It doesn't fit any profile. It doesn't lend to predictability, and it strikes without warning. While this specific evil may sound familiar, and though millions of lives have been brutalized, every few, very, very few, understand how deep it goes. Child sex trafficking is only the beginning. There is an organized occult effort that sometimes uses these children as sacrifices to ancient, bloodthirsty, demonic entities. Never before has a documentary dated or dared to expose the true depths of this dangerous evil. You'll be shocked at how common the problem is in our country. After watching this, you will never be the same. Well, we'll be showing this at 4 p.m. this coming Sunday. It's called The Silent Cry, Lord's willing, folks. Again, we're up against Satanism. And why is it 80,000 children just in the past year disappeared here in this country? Well, folks, a major reason is broken families. Today, divorce is on par with marriage. For every marriage, there's a divorce. Now, it's imperative, absolutely imperative, that we do all within our power as Christians, as Americans, to rebuild and preserve our families, our family structures. We must learn once again to communicate verbally and not by text messaging. Today, again, we're seeing the kids don't even speak. You know, it's an amazing thing. I was in a restaurant and I watched a family. The two parents were conversing, but the children all sat there with their smart aleck phones texting. They're losing their ability. Now, what people don't understand, and this is, it means adults too, is that while they're using their smartphones, are using them. That's right. The Antichrist world system is hard at work building a complete bio on you and all of those that you speak and you refer to on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter, etc. Now, the purpose of the Antichrist world system is to have complete control and influence over your life, and they're doing that already, and most people really don't understand to what extent that is, how they're getting here influenced suggestions. We see that the vast majority of the populace are totally oblivious to it. Very, very, very few of us really understand what they're doing. Now, through subliminal and esoteric means, they are influencing what you think and why you think it, folks. Did you ever notice the pattern of the pop-ups they're recording to show? And they're recording your responses, and all of this is being kept as a bio up on you to influence you. This is happening. This is the world we're living in today. And so I did some little games just to see. I would put suggestions out there and see what kind of pop-ups would come. In other words, it's like I was playing out there with AI, artificial intelligence, what is basically what they're using today, and just to see what kind of influence you would have. And I spoke more on that. But again, you are, whether you know it or not, very subtly, you're being programmed by these smart aleck phones. Now, one of the major problems we have, too, is today in divorces is because of these smart aleck phones. These iPads, they're giving, and it's caused, the Bible says the women are the weaker vessels, and it doesn't mean just physically. When it comes to being influenced by these, I've seen it, and here today we have, you'll see a lot of people, they'll have these phones, and you'll sit and they'll be texting, and they'll be laughing, and you say, what's so funny? You go to look, and they'll put the phone down right away, and their eyes will get big. Well, today, a lot of women believe that their phones, that's their space, and no one has a right in their space, including their husbands. Well, I got news for those women. God says that's not true. God says not only does your husband, not only does he have access and the right to be there, but he's got the duty. And by the way, that goes the other way, too. The husbands have no right to keep these things from their wives either, and especially the children from their parents. And so we're seeing that. And the other thing that's very funny is that the red flags, when you see that, when these women make sure that they put their phone face down and they put passcodes on, so it's a red flag. They're telling, they're sending a signal out to their husbands. The men do it too, but they're not so much, you know, they're as the women. They're sending messages out, you know, what they're doing something wrong. And this is with this trending, what they call is trending now, with open marriages, this open marriages, and what else do they're calling it? Well, clubbing, they're calling it clubbing and other things. But it ends up over 90%, they end up in divorce. There's this false teaching out there that today you can have it all. You can have a marriage, the security, with the women usually say the security of a marriage, you can have a career and children and a variety of sexual partners. This is the mind, this is what's being told to them over all of these different internet access programs, and they're falling for it. They're buying into it, and they're being, it's breaking up marriages left and right. And well, what does that happen? A lot of these children end up on the street. These children end up homeless on the streets, and this is where they're being picked up. So we're going to start tonight, Joe, in Genesis chapter 1. Let's kind of take a couple of verses at a time. So Genesis 1, 26. So read verse 26 and 28, or 27, and stop. Are you there, Joe?
God said, yeah.
Okay,
and
go ahead.
God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them.
All right, so now here, we're talking now, your Unitarian critics out there today, your anti-Trinitarian critics, say that this is a conversation here, a council between God and his angels. What do you say, Joe?
I'd say that doesn't sound anything like that. God said, let us. He's referring to us, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, because it says, after our image.
Okay.
And he's giving them authority, and let them have, angels don't give dominion to anyone, right?
Well,
they don't have that power. Only God has that power to give, you know, authority.
Well, then, are we triune beings, man too?
Yes. We are. We're made in his image. We have the mind, the body, and the spirit.
So God gave us a mental capacity, and he gave us a verbal ability. What was the reason he gave us the mental capacity and the verbal ability?
To communicate with one another and to understand his words.
Well, to communicate with him, too. Okay,
yeah,
I mean, that was the point.
Communicate with him.
Now, here... these, again, these Unitarian critics say that there's two different accounts here. I'm going to jump over just for a minute to jump over to Genesis 2 and read verses 1 through, not verses 21 through 25.
Oh, 21, okay. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs, and he closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones, and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh. How far do you want me to go?
Okay, that's good. Now, what you just read, I want to go back to Genesis 1 and pick it up in verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Now, the reason I had you read that is because these Unitarian critics say those are two different accounts of creation, that there's two different accounts of creation here.
Right.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so here now, we're going to be going to a minute over to Matthew chapter 19. And now the Lord Jesus, he said no. He verifies one. He verifies the fact that Moses was the author of Genesis, the Mosaic authorship. But then he verifies that these were the same accounts. Okay. Now let me ask you this: were the Unitary critics there at creation, or was the Lord Jesus at creation there at creation?
The Lord Jesus was there at creation, and I see no conflict anyway, even without that, because if God created it, said in the image, in His own image, He created them, male and female. And then in chapter 2, it just gives a little more detail of how he did it.
Okay.
The difference in the two is one just says he did, and in chapter 2, it gives a little more detail of how he did it, taking the rib and making, you know, using that to as one of the things to create the woman. Of course, he had to use the rest of the dust of the earth to make the body, but that was in another place where it said, and he took the dust of the earth, you know,
okay.
And he made them.
Okay, so now he created man in his image, and the image of God created him, male and female. So were there any other genders ever mentioned in creation?
There is never any other gender mentioned but male and female in the entire Bible.
All right, so let me ask you this here now. Here we see there's we used to refer to chain of command, or they call pecking order. And we see that in this Trinity, this Godhead, that God the Father gives the marching orders, God the Son carries them out, and the Holy Spirit provides the power. How does that reflect with the husband, wife, and the children?
It follows the same path. The husband's the head of the family, and he gives the orders and it controls. The wife carries the children, then are obedient. I mean, it follows God. Everything God has is a logical sequence. There's a pecking order. There's an order of control in the home as well as in heaven.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. In their humanity, is the father, the mother, and the children, are they equal in their humanity?
Yes, they're all equal in the eyes of God in their humanity.
Okay, so...
But not necessarily in their responsibility to God. Man has a more responsible position in the eyes of God. He is to govern the family, protect the family, teach the family. He's been given more authority, therefore he has more responsibility to God.
So the order, in the order of the family, the order of authority, the man is the head. Okay, now, and the parents, the children should be subjected and submissive to their parents. Now, let me ask you, what about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Are they equal in their deity?
They're equal in their deity.
Okay, but then.
The structure is they're equal. They're all part. They're all God, but they differ in the order of power.
All righty.
Jesus said, I never say anything that's not directed by the Father. I never do anything that's not what He commands. So definitely God the Father is the head of the Trinity.
All right. Let's go over to Matthew 19. And
all right.
So Matthew 19, read me verses 1 through 5, and then stop there.
All right. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? And he answered and said unto them, have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? and said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore
okay.
they are okay. no more. No.
Okay, so here let me just say, so the Lord does two things here. One, he just quotes what we just read in Genesis 1:27.
Right.
And also, actually, he requotes Genesis 5:2. Now, then he says, and he said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Now, he's quoting Genesis 2:24. And so, here, is he not confirming the Mosaic authorship of Genesis?
Definitely. Validating it, confirming it, whatever word you want to choose. Well, we must remember that whenever Jesus preached, what did he use? He used the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Because he was creating the new, but he quoted from the Old Testament all the time when he preached.
Because he was quoting from himself.
Exactly. What a better source. You could not have a better source than yourself.
All right. Pick it up in verse 6.
Wherefore, they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder.
Okay, so again, when he's talking about they become one flesh, now that's got several applications there. They become one flesh in the fact that when a man comes together with a woman, the egg and the sperm make a complete different person, right?
Right.
Okay,
that
that's,
becomes makes one flesh.
But also in the act of relations, sexual relations there, according to God, it makes them one person. So if
one
in fact
unit. The unit, yeah. like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one God, man and woman make one marriage unit. So it's a, you know, again, following the way God does things.
Okay, so how does that then coincide with the popular trend that my cell phone or my laptop or my tablet is my space, it's my private space, and no one should ever go in there? If you're a husband, do you not have the right and the duty? And the other way, too, you know, and especially for the children, do you not have the right and the duty to see what they're watching or they're hearing or they're tweeting, right?
Exactly. If you don't, you're not being a good father or mother if you just turn children loose with something like a cell phone or computer. It's like putting them naked out into the world without any guidance. You cannot do that. You have to guide, direct, and hold them accountable, give them instructions where they can go, how long they can be, different places, who they can contact. And the only way to know is to check up on them.
Well, the point that you become one flesh, then that means what is yours is mine, what is mine is yours in marriage, right?
The two are supposed to be one unit, work together. One unit does not have secrets from the other.
I knew that. Hang tight.
Well, you see, some of us that have been married a long time and have a good marriage, we know that there are not supposed to be secrets in marriage.
You're telling me.
We are to share everything, our hopes, dreams, even things that frustrate us, make us mad. We're supposed to be able to share with that person.
How about a song? We'll be back right after this.
In God we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are endowed with inalienable rights of life and precious liberty, the pursuit of happiness. On these we now take aim and set our sights. Like sleeping watchmen on the wall, we have failed to heed the signs of usurping foreign powers within our land, letting fraud, deceit, and usury be the curse of these hard times. Now won't you heed this wake-up call and lend a hand and be a part solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. In the spirit of our ancestors who refused to live in chains, we now must cast our eyes on liberty's light. For the blood spilled by our forefathers still flows within our veins, and we shall not live as slaves without a fight. Like soldiers, we must stand and face this enemy within, and do what we must do to seize the time. For in order to defend and exercise our liberties, we now must place our liberty on the line and be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution today. Be a part of the solution and restore our Constitution. Play your part in reclaiming our nation. Join the Second American Revolution.
And rout all those traitors right out of our system.
The Second American Revolution today.
You know, Joe, that's what we're doing. That's what we do at the Tea Party. That's what we do at Tactical Civics. We're bringing it back, one nation under God. And they're totally, you know, Christian. They're Christian, patriot, Christian organizations. And folks, I encourage you, you really should be a part of that. And anyhow, coming up tomorrow night, January 9th, tomorrow night at 6:30 to 8:30 p.m. in Northeast Ohio here, I want to announce the Joe Gunny Tea Party. We're going to have Dane Davis. He's an internationally recognized economist with local roots. He's going to be at the Metzenbaum Center at 8200 Cedar Road in Cheslin, Ohio. And Lord's willing, I will be there again too, myself. Part what? What does the economy hold for 2024? So he is going to explain how the economy has performed so far in 2023. You see, it's not what they're telling you. You know, all of these new jobs and that, folks, believe me, what they're telling you on the mainstream media is far, 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 far from reality and the truth. They keep trying to tell us.
The simple answer is they overstated and they kept They had to resubmit the jobs, and most of the stuff that they said they created were not there.
Absolutely.
A huge percentage. I'm trying to remember the article that it was well over 25% of all those jobs they said were created were never existed. They were just mistakes. And then many of the jobs they say were created were government jobs. In fact, that most all the jobs that were created last year were government created. So that's nothing to do with creating jobs in a free market. That's what they make it sound like. It's building government. In fact,
well, let me finish, Mike. I'm making an announcement here, Joe.
Oh, sure.
So why are the Americans so down in the economy? Well, they claim we have record numbers in the economy. Well, why we lose, and why do conservatives lose? What do we do about it? Conservatives were shocked at the recent defeats in the polls in Ohio, where abortion and marijuana were legalized. We were shocked because you went all over the state, and our signs and that the message was, you know, for every one that the opposition had, we had 8 or 10, and the reason is because 69% of the ballots were mail-in ballots. And the bottom line, folks, was the communists, the Democrats, just, again, get it through an election. and we've got to stop the mail-in ballots. We've got to stop the mail-in ballots, okay? But anyhow, these defeats come after several decades of defeats. Why do conservatives lose, and what can we do to win? So Dane Davis, local economist and speaker, as he shares his thoughts on what we need to do to win back America. Well, first of all, you got to get up off your dead behinds and on your dying feet and get out there and fight, right? And so we have too many people saying somebody should do something. Well, folks, there's too few of us that are doing the vast majority of the work. This is why everybody needs to get involved and everybody needs to do their part. And so that's the message right there. So, there
you go. Amen, if I can, when you brought up that jobs and the line figures, here's one example. Michael Mitch Landrieu joined the White House back in December of 21. He was coordinator for the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. He was given the title of senior advisor to the president and responsible for disbursing the act's funds to over 40,000 state and local projects. Well, to shorten this down, he hired, at his direction, the Biden administration hired 6,100 federal employees to disburse all the funds authorized by the state law. Now, it goes on, he's resigned that job because now he's going to be working for the Trump or the Biden campaign. So he oversaw spending $1.2 trillion in infrastructure. Think about that. $1.2 trillion he oversaw. He traveled around the country. All the stuff they did, the traveling to 150 cities. He talked with governors and mayors and private sector companies and blah, blah, long list of things. Well, now he's going to go out and campaign for Biden, and he's going to go talk to all the people that the government dispersed this $1.2 trillion and remind all these governors and labor unions and private sector companies who it was that gave them all of this money. So in other words, he's going out and buying votes for the Democrat Party. So I killed two birds with one stone in that article because it shows all these jobs created were government jobs, and now they're using all this money that they've spent, and they're using what? To get reelected, buying votes to the American people.
Do you know who represents
the system?
Yep. Do you know who your representative Yvette Clark is? She's a death.
Yeah, was she that had something to do with the?
She's a Democrat.
Between marriage licenses.
No, well, and she's a. No. Yvette Clark says that the. She says the quiet part out of a loud, and in other words, she opened her mouth and told the truth. Okay.
Oh.
And so here's what she said about the illegal aliens in her district. I need more people in my district for the redistricting purpose. In other words, she needs a whole lot of illegal aliens in her district to move in and to vote for her. And she'll promise them.
So you know, it can be redistricted to make it a solid Democrat voting block.
Yep. So as New York collapses under the weight of Joe Biden, under border and never-ending stream of illegals stretching resources, at least one New York Democrat is celebrating what it means for her politically. That's right. New York City Mayor Eric Adams shared about the city supporting 110,000 illegal aliens who have arrived since April 2022, with up to 10,000 more coming in per month. And in September, Adams told a crowd in Upper West Side Town Hall that meeting, let me tell you something, New Yorkers, never in my life have I had a problem that I did not see an ending to. I don't see an ending to this. The issue will destroy New York City. Destroy the New York City. Now, do you remember that? Isn't he the same Eric Adams that was said that, send them here, we'll take them in. We're a sanctuary city. We'll take them all. And then
he said that, and he sure did. We reported when he said it, and we said, you know, this is what these all these sanctuary cities across the country were saying because it sounded good. You see the virtue signal. They really don't mean things. They like to signal their virtue, but they really don't have anything. It's all, we used to call it a dog and pony show. It's all talk and no action, you know. They talk the talk, but they never walk the walk.
Well, this Yvette Clark, a Democrat from New York, says sees a big upside in the illegals flooding American cities. And she said, well, more illegals means more help for her redistricting purposes. She has more of a population, too. And believe me, they'll get out. They'll pay these people to go vote. They'll give them. The Democrats are totally corrupt. They're completely corrupt, And they'll give them names of people that have passed away, whatever. They'll send them in to vote. She says, I'm from Brooklyn, New York. We have a dysphoria, a diaspora that can absorb a if the printing here is a little blurred, a significant number of migrants. And so
remember, what party started the motor voter laws? You know, where you get in to get a license, you get registered to vote, whether you were allowed to vote or not. That was the Democrat Party.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, everything that they've done to change the old, you know, you need to go show identity, proof of citizenship, and blah, blah. I mean, everything they do is so they can cheat. I mean, it's real simple. They don't want photo IDs. Why? Well, it's easier to cheat without a photo ID. They wanted motor voter because it was easy to cheat. Now they want the people to be able to go around and, what do they call it, put the ballots together and large bundles, bundle the ballots, you know, to go in for election, and nobody knows who collected them and how. But so everything they do is to cheat because they can't win on principle, they can't win on ideas, they can't win on handling money, national defense, foreign affairs. So they have to resort to cheating. The end justifies the means.
Basically, that's what Nancy Pelosi said, that we can't beat Trump in an election. We can't beat him. And so we got to make sure he can't run. We got to, in other words, Nancy Pelosi said that her and AOC and these others should have the, they should be the ones who decide who we can vote for, who the American people can vote for.
Right. She said the state should have the right to decide who can run for president. And who was it? One of those liberal commentators said, no, it's come to federal government, Constitution. And she said, no, it's the states can decide that. You know, the Constitution be, here it is. Here's George Stephanopoulos was the interviewee. And she basically said that the states can overrule the U.S. Constitution and ban Trump from the ballot. And even this, you know, lifelong Democrat hack. And he said, you know, you believe Trump is ineligible to be president? And Pelosi said they have different laws from state to state. He said, but it's the Constitution. And Pelosi said, that's not the point. The point is we have to defeat Donald Trump and the Constitution be damned, is what she said.
And what she meant, that we've got to defeat Trump or we're all going to hang.
Yeah.
Because he'll be coming.
Basically, the Constitution doesn't mean anything. We're going to ignore it because we have to.
Alrighty. Pro-Hamas protesters shut down a stunned Joe Biden during a lie. And I listened to that speech, and that was a lie-filled speech. I mean, he really did it. A lie-filled speech at historically black church in Charleston, South Carolina. This is an apostate church. And here's the interesting thing. In this apostate church, there's hardly anybody there. Here you got Obama Biden, okay, and you've got these apostate preachers. I guess they could say the president came to our church, but there's nobody in there. That's right. Charleston, South Carolina, Obama Biden gave a live-filled speech to Charleston at a historically black Mother Emanuel Church Monday. He was shut down by a group of protesters, pro-Hamas protesters demanding Israel surrender to the Islamist terror organization. So Mother Emanuel Church is the place where an evil white supremacist named Dylan Roof murdered 9 worshippers in cold blood. Biden started by spreading another lie about his non-existent involvement in the civil rights movement.
Oh, more than that, he said in that church, I started the civil rights movement. I heard him. They have it on tape. They've filmed him speaking, and he said, well, he'd been here many times in this church, and he said, when I started the civil rights movement.
Well, if Al Gore invented the internet,
that's why he's ever told, isn't it?
Well, I don't know. He's told some big ones. I don't know. He claims to be the elected president of the United States. I don't think so.
Probably didn't lie. You're right. That one wins over. You know, it's kind of like Al Gore and I invented the internet.
Yeah, well, he's the resident in the White House, not the president in the White House.
Right.
He is illegitimate. There's a word for illegitimate in the Bible. Do you know what that is?
I know what the contemporary word is, but I'm not sure I remember it from the Bible.
In Hebrews chapter 12, it calls them bastards.
It's the same word. For a minute, I couldn't remember Hebrews. Yeah, I knew it was in there, but yeah.
All righty.
Same word. Hey, before we get too far, one of the things I wanted to bring up, you were talking about the families and everything in the Bible study. Jason Riley is a Wall Street Journal columnist, and he's also a Fox News contributor. He's a black gentleman, extremely articulate, well-educated, and he put out a big piece, basically sat down and talked. He said how the two-parent households ensure safer communities. And he talked about different studies. Now, we've done this in the past. There have been a lot of studies that two parents play a crucial role in ensuring safer communities. And he quoted different other people, the biggest root of crime in America is fatherlessness. And he referenced different books. And he said, although the single-parent households, the children have more crime, more problems, he said, the biggest problem is fatherlessness. It's a root cause of the children ending up in prison on drugs. And he said having a father in a family is more important than race, ethnicity, poverty, income. And he said it's the biggest factor. Well, it goes back to what you said. God said, mother, father, family, the mother and father become as one in a family.
Let me add to that, yep. Joe, because I spent 45 years actively visiting prisons, and I mean, we're still active in the prison ministry. I just don't make the trips like I used to. But in all of that time, the one thing that all the inmates had in common was no father in the house, no father in the home. Now, it's an interesting thing, too, Joe, because the laws were always bent towards where it came to single parents giving the children a warning to the mothers. Well, here now, the clear evidence is that the fathers make much better parents. Single fathers make much better parents than single women, okay? They take it much more seriously. Now, I was really surprised after when I was first got into prison ministry after a few years. I thought that having a single mother, single parent mother, that would draw her closer to her children being a single parent, but it had just exactly the opposite effect on these young men. It really had the opposite effect on them, because what happened was they saw their mothers often going with other men, infidelity, even though, when their fathers had left, and they lost respect for them. And in some cases, the sons were even violent. In the same token, the young girls who didn't have a father in the home had a tendency to turn to prostitution. They were looking for a father figure out there, and they would often find that in a pimp or some or another male
authority figure. They need both young girls and young boys need an authority figure. Most women are not authoritarian. They use mental. They use manipulation. They use not bribery, but emotional blackmail is what I'm thinking. They try and use kind of an emotional blackmail to get the children to behave, or instead of just saying no, and fathers and the kid says, why? Because I said so is all you need to know.
Right.
Fathers don't do that. They use blackmail and coercion and threats and, you know, things like that. And what the children need, all children need discipline, need control.
So
we've known that for, 2,000 years?
Yeah, absolutely.
And now they don't believe it's true?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, again, this is why the opposition works so hard to get the fathers out of the home. Joe, in that prison ministry, one of the first things I noticed that as soon as a man went to prison, as soon as he was sentenced, he went to prison, socialist services would show up. And I don't care if he only got 90 days, they would show up and they would start trying to convince the wife to divorce. You should divorce. You should divorce, okay? Go on welfare.
Get more money on welfare, right?
Right. Go on. Again, it's like whatever God's Word, the Bible teaches, they're in total opposition to it. And so and that's the world system. That's the entire... Our government has become so corrupted. The judicial system has become so corrupted, just unbelievably corrupt. But
for years, you and I have done so many stories, and I remember two things. Way back, I've seen this in a dozen different experts. The best way to avoid poverty, finish high school, get a good job, wait until you are married to have children. That's been going on that I can remember talking about this for 30, 40 years. The other, and sociologists are saying now, new articles are out, a good marriage is the number one predictor of happiness for men and women. We were talking, saying things like that 20, 30, 40 years ago on the radio, because true things like that do not change, do they?
No, they don't.
And I mean, we do it over and over and over again, and it's just like, people, you have to stop and listen. The God says what? The old paths, the old ways are the best. His way is the best because he created us. He knows what we need. He knows our weaknesses. He knows what we need as a person, as a couple, a husband and wife in a marriage, and as parents and as children and grandparents. And he made it quite clear, this is the way to happiness. And the world just doesn't seem to want to listen.
No. It's an interesting thing here. Those of us that have been married for a long time, we can understand that. Married couples they seem to live longer, Joe.
They do live longer. They're healthier also.
Yeah. And so, but like you said, the stability, here's the problem today is biblical illiteracy. You see, we understood what God's Word, the Bible, taught about marriage. Do you know what the second shortest verse in the Bible is, Joe?
Jesus wept.
No, that's the shortest.
Oh, that's the shortest. Second shortest.
Second shortest is three words. God hates divorce. God hates divorce. Three words, and there you go. And so we're going to be taking a look at that. But see, that's the problem today you have. The mindset of the people is when they take their wedding vows, either they forget what they said, but God hasn't, right? He remembers those vows. And so as we go through the scripture this week, we're going to talk about what God's Word, the Bible, says about that divine institution of marriage and the family. Do you think God means what he says, Joe?
I know he does. I don't think. I'm positive. He says what he means. He means what he says. His Word is eternal. It cannot, will not change. And being our creator, he knows, like I'll repeat, he knows exactly what we need, what's best for us. And like we've taught, like cultural Marxism, we were one of the first radio programs to bring this up, talk about cultural Marxism. And the first thing that some of the creators of it, the two theorists, Antonio Gramsci and George Lucas in Hungary, came up with was the idea that it was the Western civilization, which was basically Christian. And what did they say? They knew that if they could destroy the traditional sexual morals of Western civilization, they would take a giant step toward destroying Western culture. And I remember back in the 60s there at Berkeley, the chant, hey, hey, ho, ho, Western civ has got to go.
Jesse Jackson.
Western civilization, yep, has got to go.
I remember Jesse Jackson would come out and he'd say, ah, I'm Jesse Jackson. And then he would, hey, hey, ho, ho, Western culture's got to go, okay?
Yeah, Western civ, they tried to hide it. They're Western civ, but they're not Western civilization. Western culture's got to be destroyed. To what? Foment the communist revolution, folks.
Well, do you know what we said earlier about Nancy Pelosi talking about how we can go around the Constitution? We're coming up to a break, and after the break, we got a clip. We've got Nancy saying it. We've got her on this clip saying exactly that. And then we're also going to take a look at 40 states to get blasted by polar vortex. It looks like we may be having some very, very, very cold weather coming our way here this winter. And so we really need to be prepared for that, too, because they look for a lot of power outages. And, boy, I'm going to tell you, it's not good when you're
taking the coal-fired power plants offline. Yeah, it might be a problem.
Yep, absolutely. So when we come back, we're coming up to break. How much time do I have, Josh? No, not you, not Josh. You're Ken. Okay. There you go. I'm reading the word Josh here. So anyhow, when we get back from that break, we're going to take a look. But you know what else we're going to take a look at, Joe? What happens in Vegas is proof the Democrats are crooked.
and the trouble is it didn't stay in Vegas. That's the problem.
Yeah, the other thing, too, is bombshell, 200 undercover FBI assets that we call them rogue agents at the Capitol on January 6th. We knew that all along, Joe. We've been telling people.
We even told them the number, didn't we?
Right. 200 rogue agents in the coup. In the coup. It was a to overthrow the sitting president of the United States of America. There you go. So we will be back right after this with a whole lot more. So don't go away. Be right back.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.
Cable news, noisy, boring, out of touch. That's why Salem News Channel is different. We keep you in the know. Streaming 24/7 for free. Home to the greatest collection of conservative voices like Dennis Prager, Jay Sekulow, Mike Gallagher, and more. Salem News Channel is unfiltered and unapologetic. Watch anytime on any screen. at snc.tv and local now, channel 525.